scripture that we read just a moment ago talked about the Pharisees gathering together. And Pharisees, just to remind you of who they were a religious and political party back in Jesus' day. And they were a group of people that felt that the law should be kept till the letter. In fact, let me just read a couple of verses from Matthew chapter 23 about the Pharisees. This is Jesus talking, and he's describing them. He said this, "The scribes and the Pharisees sat in Moses' seat. All, therefore, whatsoever they bid you, observe. That observe and do." And the Pharisees were always trying to trip Jesus up. They were trying to say that he came to break the law, to put down the law. And Jesus says, "Oh, no, I didn't." He says, "All, therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe." The law, Jesus said, you keep it. But then he goes on to say, "But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not." Jesus saying, they say one thing, but they do something else. They'll tell you to keep the law, but they won't keep the law. "For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers." Jesus saying, look, what they'll do is they'll put heavy burdens on you. They'll try to get you to keep the law, but they won't move one of their little fingers to keep it. "But all their works they do for to be seen of men. And they love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi." Jesus was saying, now, here's a group of people. They'll tell you to keep the law, but they don't, and they perhaps keep the letter of the law, but they don't keep the spirit of the law. They don't help others, and they keep the law so people will notice them. Well, Jesus, and like I mentioned, the Pharisees were always gathering around Jesus. They wanted to try to trick him. They wanted to catch him up in something and be able to point their fingers of criticism at him and say, "Look at there, he's not keeping the law. He's putting the law down. He needs to be done away with." They wanted to kill him. And on this occasion that we read about a moment ago, they were gathered together, one place. And rather than them ask Jesus the questions, which is what they often did, Jesus says, "Hey, I got a question for you. What think ye of Christ?" What think ye of Christ? Now, some of them there in that group already had their minds made up. Many of them were against him. They didn't like the way he preached. They didn't like the way he taught. They saw him as a threat, and they wanted to do everything they could to get him out of the way and get him gone. There were others in that group, like Nicodemus. You remember Nicodemus? He was a Pharisee. John chapter 3, he came and he met Jesus by night, and he met Jesus as his Savior. And so men like Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, who laid him in his grave, who was also a Pharisee, they also had their mind made up. They were for him. But there were others in that group that were still forming their opinion about Christ. They were still making up their mind. When Jesus said, "What think ye of Christ?" they didn't have an answer. Perhaps they'd seen his miracles, they'd heard him teach, they'd heard him preach, but they had not made up their mind as to who he was. You know, I sort of think that's the same way it is in this crowd this morning. There are some of you here that in response to that question can say, "Oh yes, Brother Darrell, I already have my mind made up. If Jesus were to come today and he were to ask that question, 'What think ye of Christ?' I could give him an answer. I already know. I've got my mind, it's already fixed." And many of you would say this morning, "I know him as my Savior. I know him as the one," as Brother Wendell sang a moment ago, "that died on the cross for me. I know him as one that paid for my sins. He's my friend. He's my King." Others here this morning, you've already got your mind made up. You've decided not to follow him. You've decided not to accept what he purchased for you on Calvary. And then I think there's some here this morning, you're still making up your mind. You're still trying to decide what you think of this one called Jesus. And so I think it's an appropriate question that we look at this morning. I think, I mean, we have an opinion about other people. I mean, if I came in this morning and I said, what do you think of President Clinton? I dare say that every single person in this room could give me an opinion of what they think of President Clinton. And if you're watching your pocketbooks, your opinion's not very good at this point in time. But you would have an opinion. If I came in this morning and said and asked you, what do you think of Sparky Anderson? You'd have an opinion. And the way things have gone the last couple of weeks, your opinion wouldn't be very good. But we often ask each other what we think of other people. What do you think of the president? What do you think of the boss? What do you think of the preacher? And you share opinions with one another. And so I think it's all right for us to ask the question this morning, what do you think of Christ? What do you think of Jesus? And let me point out to you, my dear friend, that that's a question we answer more with our actions than we do with our words. If you're here today and you've never been saved, your name's not written in heaven. You don't belong to God. You will answer that question by what you do with Jesus this morning. You will either receive Him and accept what He purchased for you on Calvary, or you'll walk out the door rejecting His love, rejecting the sacrifice that He paid, still on your way to hell. You'll answer the question this morning. Christians that are here, you answer that question every day of your life by how you live. Do you share Him? Do you live for Him? Do you speak up for Him? Do you stand for Him? So every single one of us do answer this question. What think ye of Christ? What do you think of Jesus? Jesus said one time, Matthew chapter 12, verse 30, He that is not with me is against me. And what Jesus was saying is, when it comes to this question, you can't sit on the fence. You can't stay on the line. You've got to get on one side of it or the other. Don't you think that you're going to be able to go through your life and then go through eternity not deciding what you think for Christ and not deciding what you think about Him? Because Jesus said, if you're not for me, if you're not on my side of the line, if you're not on my side of the fence, then you're against me. And so every single one of us have to answer this question. What think ye of Christ? What think ye of Jesus? Now, I'm not asking you what you think about Baptist doctrine. No. I'm not asking you what you think about Fellowship Baptist Church. No. I'm not asking you what you think about the Southern Baptist Convention. No. I'm asking what you think about the most important person that has ever lived. What think ye of Christ? What do you think about Jesus? Was He really the Son of God? Was He really the one that spoke the worlds and the universe into being? Was He really the Prince of Heaven? And did He leave that wonderful place to become born in a manger, born of a virgin? Was He really the one that lived for 33 years, a sinless life, no sin? Did He go to that old rugged cross and did He die for me to pay for my sins, to suffer for me, to pay for my hell? And will I really stand before Him one day and have to give an account as to what I did with Him and what I did with His sacrifice on Calvary? Will I stand before Him one day as judge? What do you think of Christ? Now this morning I'd like to help you answer that question. You probably figured that out already, or else I wouldn't be asking you. But I want to help you answer that question. I want to be able to help you answer what you think about Christ. Now, one of the ways that we form opinions about people, and just one of the ways, is that we ask other people what they think. Now, for example, many of you know, but there's some that don't know very well, Brother David Stanley. All right? Now, Dave, would you stand up just for a minute so everybody know who I'm talking? Just stand. You don't have to come up here. Just stand up. All right? This is Dave Stanley. Now, let's say that I didn't know Brother Dave. I didn't know him. Okay, thanks. You can sit down. Let's say I didn't know him. And somebody came up to me and said, Brother Darrell, what do you think about Brother Dave? And I said, well, I don't know. I'll find out. Let me ask a few people. One of the first persons I would probably go to was his mother. Help me, Brother Wendell. I don't want to get tangled up. I would go to Lois, and I'd say, Lois, I'm trying to form an opinion about Brother Dave. What do you think about him?
other thing, so he's my son.
She said, and for those of you who didn't hear him, she says, I got to say, I must say, he's my son. You know, that's like a, that's like when I first started preaching, my father-in-law, who's a preacher, he says, I want to tell you a little secret about being a preacher. He says, when you go into people's house and you, and they set dinner on the table and you eat dinner, he says, if they have something you don't like, eat it anyway. And then when you get done, say, I must say, that's good. And so Lois says, I must say, he's my son. All right, now, I'd ask somebody else. If I didn't know him, if I was trying to form an opinion about him, I go talk to his wife. And I'd say, Chris, what do you think of Dave?
I think he's a real good husband and a wonderful father.
All right, a real good husband, a wonderful father. And I'd put that in my data bank, and I'd say, all right, that's some other information that I need to act upon, all right? I might go to his daughter, and I might say, Angie, I'm trying to form an opinion about your dad. What do you think of him? All right, I would put that in my data bank. And I would take that into consideration. But there's other people that I would ask. We have a couple of his sister-in-laws here this morning. And I might go up to Kathy and I'd say, Kathy, I'm trying to form an opinion about Brother Dave. What do you think about him?
Well, I think he's honest and kind and always there when you need help.
All right. Honest, kind, always there when you need help. And I might talk to his brother-in-law. Here's one of his brother-in-laws. Ray, what do you think about Brother Dave?
He's a real good guy, and he'd help anybody at any time.
All right. Yeah, I might talk to one of his nephews. All right. Jerry, what do you think about Uncle Dave? All right. And I'd put all of that into my decision making. Now, I'd probably go a little bit further. I might go to one of his friends, all right? Somebody that's not, of course, you know, members of the family. They're always going to say nice things about him. But I might go to one of his friends, and I might say, Brother Larry, you're a good friend. You're a good friend. What do you think about Brother Dave?
He's a good friend.
All right, he's a good friend. And I would take all of that input from his mom, his wife, his children, his sister-in-laws, his brother-in-laws, his nieces and his nephews, and I would form an opinion. Help me, Brother Wendell, I'm getting all tangled up. I'd form an opinion about Brother Dave. And I would get to know him by what they said about him. Now look, we can do the same thing with Jesus. Through the pages of this book, we can go back and we can talk to the people that were around him and that were with him. And we can, if we could get their opinions, it would help us form, thank you, Brother Wendell, it would help us form our opinions about him. So let's go back. Let me take you back through the pages of this book. Let me ask some of the people that were around Jesus what they thought about him. You've got to decide. You've got to decide this morning what you think of Christ. Let me help you. Let's listen to some of these. Let's go back and ask the angels. The angels, they were with him when he was the Prince of Heaven. They were with him thousands of years before the earth was created. They saw him as the Prince of Heaven. They saw him as Creator. They saw him as the sustainer and holder together of the universe. Let's start with Gabriel. I mean, he was one of the archangels. He was the messenger of God. He was the one that brought the message to Mary that she was going to conceive and have a little baby boy. Gabriel, what think ye of Christ? And Gabriel would say, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Let's call in the rest of the angels. The angels, all the angels of heaven. Let's ask that whole group of angels, what do you think of Christ? What do you think of Jesus? And they would say, as they did to the shepherds on the hills of Galilee that night when they announced his birth, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you this day in the city of David is born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. That's what the angels thought about Jesus. Let's go ask somebody else. Let's ask Simon, that old man that lived in Jerusalem, who the Bible describes as just and devout, who was filled with the Holy Spirit, who was promised by God. God came to him one day through the Holy Spirit and said, Simon, you're not going to die until you see the Savior. I promise you, I'm going to let you live until you see the Messiah. Simon was now an old man. Every day he came into the temple. On this particular day he came in, he saw a young man and a young woman. They had their little baby boy, 8 years old. The Bible says they brought him into the temple to do according to the custom of the law, probably to be circumcised, probably to offer the sacrifices for their little baby boy. And there was a little inner voice that said to Simon, Simon, there he is. There he is. He's the one that I promised. Simon, what think ye of Christ? Listen to this old man as he said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. The angel said it. He was God's salvation. Simon, who was promised that he wouldn't die until he saw the Messiah, said it. He's God's salvation. Let's go on. Let's ask John the Baptist, the son of the high priest, the one who the Bible calls the forerunner of Christ, the one that who was anointed before his birth to go and prepare the way for the Savior. He went to school in the wilderness. God taught him. The Holy Spirit taught him. The Bible says he wore a leather girdle. You think yours are uncomfortable, ladies? Think about his. A leather girdle and hairy clothes. And for his diet, he ate grass, locusts, and honey. Listen to what John the Baptist. John, what do you think about Christ? What think ye of Christ? And John the Baptist thunders out as he did in his day and time. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. I bear record that he, as he had his finger pointed to Jesus, I bear record that he is the Son of God. What more proof do we need? How many more witnesses should we call? Let's ask the disciples. I mean, they were with him for 3 years. They were with him all the time. They were with him as he performed his miracles. They were with him as he taught and as he preached. They traveled together. They ate together. They slept together. Let's ask them. Peter, you were the leader. You were one of the inner circle. Peter, you've always had an opinion about everything else. Peter, what think ye of Christ? What do you think of Jesus? And Peter stands and says, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Let's ask another one. What about Judas? Judas would be a good one to ask. He was one of the 12. He was there for the 3 years that Jesus walked and talked when he had his disciples around him. He was the treasurer of the group, the one that held the bag. Oh yeah, and also Judas was the one that betrayed him. Judas was the one that sold him for 30 pieces of silver. All the others that we've talked to, the angels and Simon, John the Baptist and Peter, they were friends of Christ. Now Judas, you weren't his friend. You sold him out. What do you think of Christ? Listen as Judas, as he throws the 30 pieces of silver back to the priest and says, I have betrayed innocent blood. Innocent blood. Let's ask some of his other enemies. Let's ask some other. We have talked to his friends. We have talked to those who were for him. But let's go on. Let's ask the Pharisees. I mean, this was a group that wanted to kill him. This was a group that was always trying to trick him and to put him down and to get rid of him. Surely the Pharisees would have something bad to say about Jesus. Let's ask him. Pharisees, what think ye of Christ? Luke 15:2. This man receiveth sinners. This man receiveth sinners? That's all you've got to say? This man receiveth sinners? They say, yeah, we saw him eating with them. We saw him sitting at the same table with sinners. Let's ask the demons. Let's ask the devils that who possessed people that Jesus encountered. For example, the devils that possessed Mary Magdalene, the devils that possessed the wild man of Gadara. What think ye of Christ? Listen to what the devils say. Listen to their testimony. Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God. Are you beginning to get the picture? Think about Pilate. Pilate, the Roman governor, the Roman leader who stood that day as the crowd cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate took him into his court. He talked to Jesus one-on-one. He examined him. Pilate, you sentenced him to his death. You told the soldiers it was all right to go ahead and take him and crucify him. Pilate, what think ye of Christ? Listen as Pilate gives his testimony. I find no fault in him. Even his wife sent Pilate a note and said, "Have thou nothing to do with this just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." Even his enemies, think about it. The worst thing that they can say about Jesus, he received his sinners. Boy, I'm sure glad he did. I'm sure glad he did. I wouldn't be here, Brother Lyle, if he didn't receive sinners. I'm one. The devils called him the Son of the Most High God. Pilate, who examined him and sentenced him to death, said, I find no fault in him. Listen to the centurion, the leader of the group of Roman soldiers that took him out and crucified him. This was the leader of the group that beat him. This was the commander of the group that spit in his face and plucked his beard out by its roots. This was the group of men that mocked him, that took that cat of nine tails and whipped him 39 lashes, that formed that crown of thorns and put it down on his head, that finally took him and nailed him to the cross. The centurion, the one that led that group of men, the one that watched Jesus as he died, listen to what the centurion said about Christ. Truly, this was the Son of God. Truly, this was the Son of God. Well, let's ask God. Let's ask God. We've asked everybody else. We've asked his disciples. We've asked the people that crucified him. If we could go into the courts of heaven this morning and we could approach the holy God and we could ask this question, God, what do you think of Christ? Listen to what God audibly said from heaven when Jesus was on earth. At his baptism, Mark chapter 1, verse 11. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And then again on that Mount of Transfiguration, when he had Peter, James, and John, and Moses and Elijah appeared, the Bible says a great cloud came over that mountain, and from that cloud an audible voice, the voice of God, said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Hear ye him." What think ye of Christ? Listen to what Jesus said about himself. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He said again in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. This morning, let me ask you the question. And I wish I could sit down and speak to you one at a time, one-on-one. We could have a private conversation. What do you think of Jesus this morning? What think ye of Christ? If we had the time, we could go around the room and we could talk to people here that already know him. Just like we talk to people that know Brother Dave and got their opinion, we could talk to people in this room that know Jesus. They could tell you about how he cleaned up their life. They could tell you about how he brought them out of a life of wickedness and sin. They could tell you how he gave meaning and purpose to their life and how they live for him now, not because of any strength that they have, but because of the grace and the strength that he gives them. We could hear Brother Wendell as he sings one of my favorite songs, "Don't Know What Kind of Sinner You Are, But I Know What Kind of Savior I've Got." And we could go around the room, and boys and girls and men and women could stand, and they could tell you, let me give you what I think about Jesus. Because there's many in this room that have already decided he's my Savior. He really did leave heaven. He really was born of a virgin. He really did live a perfect life for 33 years. And he really did go to that old rugged cross that we sang about this morning. And there, as he hung on that cross, he died for me, for my sin. He suffered for me the payment for my sin. He suffered for me the torments of hell so that I could be made right with my God. And what you believe about him will make the difference where you spend eternity. If you know him as a wonderful friend and as your Savior, your eternity is going to be with him in heaven. He said in John chapter 14, I go to my Father's house. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there ye may be also. And if you know him this morning as your Savior, your eternal destiny is already secured. It's heaven. But my dear friend, if you've rejected him, if you've never received what he purchased for you on Calvary, you're going to miss it. Because that verse is true. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved other than the name of Jesus. Now, as I close, let me tell you this. I mentioned that one way you get to know a person and form an opinion about him is to ask others. But you know, I'm going to tell you a better way. A better way for me to get to know Brother Dave, rather than go and talk to his family and talk to his friends, would be for me to go and spend time with Brother Dave, to follow him around, to watch him as he worked, watch him as he played, watch him as he lived his life, as he faced the hardships in life and the trials of life, the victories of life. That's how I'd really get to know him. You know what? That's how you really get to know Jesus. That's the best way to form an opinion about him. And so this morning, as I ask you the question, what think ye of Christ? I also issue to you an invitation. Before you reject him, before you say, no, I don't want any part of that, I invite you to come and try him. I invite you to come to get to know him. And then after, look, if you will honestly come and say, Brother Darrell, I want to get to know Jesus. And if you'll get serious about getting to know him and get in this book and ask the Holy Spirit to teach you about him, if you, after that, want to walk away and reject it, fine. But my dear friend, I've never known one person who's gotten serious about wanting to know him and got in this book and asked the Holy Spirit to reveal Jesus to them that wanted to walk away. Every person I've known wanted to be part of the family, and they accepted him as their Savior. And so this morning, I invite you to come. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 37, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. What think ye of Christ this morning? Why not come and get to know him? Why not come and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you who Jesus really was? Father, thank you for the invitation that you give every single boy, every single girl, every single man, every single woman.